Virtual Special Issue 2020, Dragons, read by Juliet Wood. From Fafnir to Smog, to the pearl-chasing Chinese Long, and the dragons that stalk the world of internet games, these mythical creatures, whether traditional or literary, can carry great symbolic value. The mound-dwelling, fire-breathing dragon in Beowulf belongs to a group of mythical beasts known throughout the world. J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth novels have influenced the perception of dragons as winged, fire-breathing, reptilian quadrupeds, but, as so often with mythical beasts, they come in many forms. Some are wingless, legless, or multi-headed, while the popular heraldic beast, the wyvern, has two legs, wings, and a serpentine tail. The names reveal something of their heritage. Dragon comes from the Greek drakon, a large serpent. Wyvern is derived from the Latin for viper, vipera, and the Germanic word worm, verm, is cognate with Latin vermus, worm. A range of articles from folklore listed in this virtual special issue examines dragon lore in various contexts, but focuses mainly on traditions about dragons in Britain and Europe, as well as the ways in which this dynamic tradition has influenced folk tales, community performance, and the fantasy genre. Dragons are plentiful in Anglo-Saxon and other Germanic sources, where the terms verm, orm, and dreki refer to creatures that range from serpentine to lizard-like and frequently come into conflict with a national, local, or even semi-divine hero. Germanic dragons are associated with burial mounds and treasure troves, and traditions about hidden treasure and death feature in many accounts. Jacqueline Simpson's seminal survey of British dragons identified a number of themes in dragon tales which relate to the nature of the creature and its habitat, to heroes, both aristocratic and ordinary, who oppose them, and to various theories about the origin and function of these fascinating beasts. Warrior saints provide obvious candidates for dragon slayers, given the link so often made in a Christian context between serpents and sin. St. George's story fuses the theme of a Christian saint who defends good against evil with a secular hero who defeats a dragon. St. George was venerated as a saint of healing in the Middle East, and as he became more popular in Britain, localized traditions associated him with healing wells and protection from pestilence. On the medieval tympanum in a church dedicated to St. George at Brinsup, Herefordshire, the saint is shown spearing a dragon-like monster. According to local tradition, this dragon lived in a well near the church, and the saint fought it in a local field. The Dragon's Mound near Uffington White Horse, Oxfordshire, is another site where traditions about a battle between St. George and a dragon have been localized. Simpson's study notes other English dragon tales that have become attached to local landmarks. Many dragons are venomous destroyers of livestock rather than fire-breathing treasure hoarders. A story first recorded in the 18th century opens with the motif of a poisonous cattle killer. A reward is offered, and a brave young peasant wins land and glory by destroying the serpent. The tale is further linked to an Anglo-Saxon carving of a stylized beast in St. Mary's Priory Church, Deerhurst, near Gloucester. This traditionally is said to represent the defeated dragon. In the Sussex legend of the Knucker of Leinster, the dragon dies of indigestion after it eats a poisoned pie, and a local tombstone is said to be the burial place of its killer. The dragon slayer motif, essentially a human versus beast encounter, is found in myth, heroic epic, hagiographical legends, and local folk tales. The action embodies a fundamental theme, namely that by overcoming these fearful and destructive creatures, the heroic warrior proves himself worthy and assumes some of the power of the defeated enemy. The dragons defeated by dragon slayers can signify the forces of evil overcome by virtue, or represent a local monster which embodies disease. At the beginning of the last century, folklorist Mary Lovett Cameron collected an example from Tuscany. The temporal setting is vague, and the hero was an unspecified member of the powerful Sforza family. The dragon inhabited a cave, terrified the population, and decimated livestock. But it was no match for the brave and cunning Duke Sforza, who lured it out by attaching a red flag to his lance. He killed it and gave its jawbone to the friars of La Trinita. Dragons were sometimes associated with the feasts of important saints. The pageant dragon used in the festival of St. Martha and her dragon-like opponent the Tarasque, in Provence, was described by Eliza Gutch, a founding member of the Folklore Society. Her account of the origins and development of this long-established festival was the culmination of research carried out at the beginning of the 20th century, which her husband presented to the society after her death. Pageant figures of snake-like dragons feature in Japanese agricultural festivals. In contrast with the monstrous reptilian creatures of European lore, Chinese and Japanese dragons were typically a compilation of nine creatures, nine being an auspicious number. Their role as part of complex symbolic systems included control of the weather, especially the rainfall essential to agriculture. The association of dragon figures with festivals in such widely separated geographical regions illustrates the ease with which this mythical beast adapts to different contexts and becomes a focus for communal activities. Dragon traditions draw on a variety of sources and fulfill a number of functions. Early printed pamphlets relied on the testimony of reputable witnesses to provide validation for the existence of dragon-like beasts. 17th century example described a venomous serpent lurking in St. Leonard's Forest near Horsham in Sussex. The St. Leonard's Forest story acquired a dragon slayer and became the site for a fight between St. Leonard, the dedicatee of a local chapel, and a dragon. Accounts of sightings continued for many years, not as a dragon slayer tale, but as shorthand for an unfounded rumor. The function and meaning of familiar dragon motifs can vary dramatically, as illustrated by a variant of the monstrous bridegroom, or the disenchanted husband, collected by the anthropologist Paul Durnberger during fieldwork among the Lisu people, an ethnic group inhabiting mountainous regions of Southeast Asia. In this tale, the supernatural spouse is a dragon, whose actions are pivotal in maintaining the balance between human and non-human worlds in Lisu culture, a relationship which is reflected in the unusually complex tasks undertaken by the wife to regain her dragon husband. Beowulf contains a reference to another Germanic hero, Sigmund, who kills a dragon and appropriates its hoard, and is the father of yet another dragon slayer, Sigurd, whose encounter with the dragon Fafnir appears in several Norse accounts. Dragons and dragon slayers feature in variants of the well-known Persian folk tale of the dragon slayer, the tale of Prince Muhammad. The youngest of three brothers follows a dragon into a well, where he kills three more dragons who have abducted women. Although his jealous brothers abandon him, he kills yet another dragon that demands a maiden tribute each year and then returns triumphant. The encounter between Beowulf and the dragon is undoubtedly one of the most famous dragon fights in Western literature, not least because of its influence on Tolkien and the current popularity of the fantasy genre. Traditional dragons are unsociable beasts, but dragon companions have become a regular feature in fantasy writing since the end of the 19th century. The child-friendly dragons in Kenneth Graham's The Reluctant Dragon, Nesbitt's A Book of Dragons, and even Tolkien's lesser-known creation Chrysophylax from Fromagiles of Ham, Anne McCaffrey's psychic dragon writers, the dragons of Ursula K. Le Guin's Earthsea novels, and Terry Pratchett's comic creations reflect how folklore can be used to express changes in social attitudes and ideas. In this context, dragons are no longer just static symbols from the past. Their opponents can be children rather than warriors, who find a unique way of dealing with them. Fantasy writing has added depth of character and individuality to these ancient creatures, and created fictional landscapes in which humans and dragons can work together to defeat a common enemy. New approaches to the interpretation of dragon lore are reflected in some of these articles. George Munger situates dragon traditions in the field of cryptozoology, and notes that there are some striking similarities between characteristics of Mysteria's big cat sightings and those associated with older supernatural beasts, such as local dragon traditions. Geomythology, the study of oral traditions created by pre-scientific cultures to explain geological and paleontological phenomena, is now a popular approach in folklore studies. David Rees adopts this approach in his survey of early interpretations of extinct animal bones, the remains of giants, saints, and dragons, and other monsters found on Malta, Crete, and Mediterranean islands. Ultimately, dragons are creatures of power that can signify pagan error, pestilence, and plague, or an enemy attacker. They can be frightening cosmic symbols of chaos or represent nature tamed by the process of civilization. As a symbol of sin, the dragon has obvious echoes of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But it can also provide a rallying point for civic pride or a companion in the world of fantasy. In the past, it has embodied many kinds of otherness, but the dragon's prevalence in popular culture and fiction suggests that it is a polyvalent symbol which can be and is being constantly revived.